Just had a chance to hear from Mel. He talked about the need for everybody to play better on that side of the ball. If you watched the film, what did you take away from the run defense specifically that you can apply towards a San Francisco attack that obviously guys can work out?
Two runs stick out. You know, the one in the second quarter, you know, that was my fault. I jumped out of my gap. And, you know, I played the quarterback when I should have been, you know, in the A gap. And he ended up getting 30 yards and the one in the overtime, you know. And I think outside of that, I mean, they rushed the ball a lot of times, you know, for the most part, you know, we fit well, you know. And but it's got to be a complete game type of thing. You know, it can't be, you know, a good game of stopping the run and then give up two big runs, you know.
When you look at that run where you said you were out of your gap, what went wrong? Did you see something that you thought was something?
My eyes. My eyes. You know what? I saw the read option. We were in an eight-man front. I should have just stayed in my gap, you know, and I popped out, you know, to go get the quarterback and left the left that gap wide open, you know, and that's a mistake that that I don't normally make, you know, and I won't, you know, I won't moving forward.
Lance, you talked about in the TV show last night about the attention that your off the field activities have gotten or your life away from this. Do you understand though? I mean, you've been here a long time.
So yeah.
Do you understand the perception of what people hear about you or see you not at practice and how they connect that to a bad day by the defense or the fact that you may not be playing as well as you have at other times in your career?
Yeah, I mean, we've only played one game. You know, we've only played one game, and you know, I told Mel yesterday on my day off. I'm like, man, you know, I once came out in our first game and had 36 loafs and one tackle against Atlanta, you know, and got some of the same criticism. And went on to have a regular year, you know. I'm not like everybody else, you know. I don't hit the panic button, you know. For us, it's time for us to focus on beating the 49ers.
That was 3 years ago, right? And what role does age inevitably? You're on the other side of 30.
Mm-hmm.
Playing.
What side of 30?
Well, you're on the other side of 30, I guess.
The good, this side.
Yeah, yeah.
The good side.
You're right, right.
That side.
30, right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So,
you mean I'm on the underside of 40? Okay, I gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
At what point, though, do you have to start maybe treating your body differently, maybe taking precautions so age doesn't catch up with you?
Oh, I don't think you know what I do every day. I don't think you have any idea. Yeah, I'm here early every day. You know, that I'm here. I get a lot of treatment on my body. I'm here, work out in the middle of the day. And, I mean, even though this is not necessarily anybody's business, but I'm going to tell you. All right, and then after practice, I'm in getting treatment, you know, and I do an additional workout after I leave this building, you know, to get my body ready. So that's, people don't know that.
It sounds as if you, does it bother you that people have questioned your
commitment? No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Sure, let me come at you a little different way. I think you're 32, right?
Yep.
Right. So, and I have no doubt about your effort.
And yeah, I feel like I'm on that side of 30. All right. All right, just real clear.
How different do you feel today heading into week two in terms of your ability to do things you want to do than you did, say, 4 years ago?
It's a mindset. Honestly, I feel like I'm 18. I feel better this year than I felt last year. You know, body feels great, strong. I get in, I lifted this morning. You know, weights are going up. Like I kind of judge everything off of how my workouts go because my workouts are the same here, you know, in season. So, I mean, I feel phenomenal. Watch film. You know, I'm more explosive this year than I was last year as far as, like, first step explosiveness. But it's I think – and honestly, I think that the perception of age gets caught up in what people say, you know, is a football player's lifespan, right? We're in such a contact sport, a violent sport, that the lifespan is typically short. So when guys get longer in the years, they think, oh, okay, he's getting older, and that's how it plays. And then granted, you know, we get snaps wear on you. But, you mean, if we were a quarterback, people don't talk about age. So I think from a competitor standpoint, we don't look at age. We don't look at that. We simply come in and say, we got to do X, Y, and Z to get ready. And the day I can't do X, Y, and Z to get ready, trust me when I tell you, I would be the first one to leave because I'm not going to sit up here and be the reason why my team loses.
Just a question, I guess, real simple. Do you feel you can do all the same things today that you could your fourth year in the league, let's say?
Absolutely.
Okay. Probably better.
G- Game slowed down. I know how to cheat the system, so to speak, better.
69 didn't look as phenomenal back then as it does now.
No, I was like 282. I was fat.
Oh, man, yeah. But you were a monster.
But fourth year, I was 255.
Lance, I think most people, you know, because most of the fans are, they are not football players, they don't take care of their bodies like you guys do. What they do see is, you know, they know, you don't have to be a football player to know that you can't party like you used to do when you were in your 20s.
Right.
You know, and recover. So I think that's where people say, you know, gosh, man, there's no way I can't do it like I used to. So.
Oh, you don't have, what, a cup of wine? You're in there?
No, I'm just saying that. No, I feel like
I'm missing something.
4 in the morning.
Were you at the Bears Care Gala?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, see. Yeah. No, but I think that's where people can relate to it and say, gosh, you know, there's no way I could, my body could recover. You know,
right.
All night.
Well, there's a lot of people that can't do what we do. You know, there's a lot of people that couldn't put their bodies through what we do, period, you know, let alone, you know, go through what we did, you know, starting at probably grade school or junior high school or high school and continuing through college. You know, my day started at about 6 in the morning and ended at about 10 every day, you know, so there aren't a lot of people that could have done that, period.
Jared, you mentioned about being smarter now at this age. How does defending the read option, how is it tougher?
Oh, Jimmy Kirkens. It's tougher because the quarterbacks are so fast. It really comes down to being disciplined sound, you know, I mean, or gap sound and doing your job. Everybody's got a job to do, and when you try to do extra is when you get caught. The read option is tough on, you know, on that play Lance did.
I mean, I was doing extra.
And it's hard, and that's one thing you guys got, you know, in our system too. You know, it's, you know, you got a guy like Lance who's used to be on instinct making plays. Sometimes the best thing to do is when you're backside, you have to remain backside.
Mm-hmm.
And that just comes down with trusting you're got to be in your gap. You got to be in your gap, especially when we're 8-man fronts. So when you look at it, it's not doing too much. You really have to slow down, let things develop, and then make sure you have your job done. So, you know, if I got the dive, I take the dive, because the day I get caught peeking on the quarterback, I don't care if the quarterback runs around me and I'm the only one standing there and it looks like I blew the play. If I have the dive, I have to take the dive, because the second I go to take that quarterback, he's going to give the dive and it's going to be up the middle. So that's the read option. It just really makes you – it's tedious, really. It really is. And it looks flashy on TV. But if you do your job day in, just time and time and time again, you're going to make more plays than not. I mean, really, their read option, I think they ran it 12 times, averaged 3 yards a play. So it looks flashy because they ran a 6-yard one in for a touchdown, because we didn't do our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a force player. You got to have alley players. You got to play. And so that's what it comes down to. And sometimes as players in a system, you want to be aggressive. I know for me, it's hard. You know, it's hard not to be aggressive. And you just got to put those brakes on at times, and you got to realize, okay, I got this guy.
Go.
I have to be disciplined here, otherwise I let everybody else down.
And does the way Kaepernick run it, is it make it different from what you saw last week with AJ Manuel?
Kaepernick's fast. He's really fast.
Yeah, but it comes in. You got to have the guys in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who's running the ball. If, you know, anybody can run through a wide open hole, right? So, guys, we got to be on top of our game. We got to be
it's not rocket science.
Yeah, we got to be sound in our responsibilities. And you got to recognize it, because if the minute you start, you know, you got to recognize when they're going to run it, when they're not. And, again, that's a team that everybody looks at. Oh, with Kaepernick, they run all this pistol read option, zone option stuff. They are going to line up, and they will run the power down your throat. So it is still a conventional
run
team. And when you look at that team, I mean, it's power, it's lead, it's counter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to run the ball down your throat. And then you're going to get it from different, you know, different window dressings. And again, it just comes down to, you know, I always tell people, football's not that hard. As a D lineman, I get four blocks. You're going to tell me what to do. I'm going to get a cutoff, a reach, a base block, or a pass. You know, that's going to tell me where the ball is going. And if I can stay true to my keys, we can be successful.
They're really sharp. They're very efficient in how they run, you know, where guys align, you know, their motions. You know, they take advantage of, you know, whether we want to call out where there's going to be one back or two back, you know. You know, they'll what we call wham. They'll wham just about everybody on the defense, you know, and force a different player on the defense to be disciplined and make sure he's in that gap. If he gets pushed by, it creates another alley, you know, for Frank Gordon and Carlos Hyde to run.
Lance, it seems like under Lovie, whenever their critics were out there at times like this, that you guys were able to kind of maximize this us versus them mentality. And instead of blocking out the what's called noise, I guess, actually use it, it seemed like, to play better. And I'm wondering how unique was that, and does this team have that same ability to do that, especially with a big game coming up?
Of course we have the ability to do it, you know, because it is an us versus them mentality. And you know, one thing we talk about, poison and noise, it doesn't really matter what's going on outside of this right here, you know, and that this meaning us, you know, and we're going to be as successful as we're going to be, as we decide we're going to be, you know. It's not going to be because of any tricky scheme of any team that's out there doing anything special or anybody that wants to run things down our throats. We will be as successful as we want. We have that much talent.
But was that effect? Was that more on Lovie and Brian, you know what I'm saying, as far as being the start of that? Is that where it started? Or
we bought into a system. I mean, back in 04, we bought into a system. Yes, we bought into a system, and that was our mentality. That was our identity. We had our own identity. You know, we created our own identity back then. You know what I mean? And now we're going to create a new identity here, you know, and that's going to start this week.
But how much of that was based on proving people wrong? I guess that's really the question.
That's big. I mean, every week is. I mean, right now, this week is in proving people wrong. You know, there's a lot of people that don't think we can stop the run. You know, when we turn the tape on, you know, it's a very different outlook than what everybody else here sees. You know, we lost to a team we really shouldn't have, and we were defensively, you know, we were a couple plays away from playing the type of defense that we really want to play.
You talk about that identity, building that identity. Have you guys built that identity with this defense yet, or is that still a work in progress?
Still work in progress.
Lance said, what do you remember from Kaepernick 2 years ago? I mean, it was his first start. He's never.
I remember. Touchdown. San Francisco. Touchdown. San Francisco.
I remember that too.
Was he like anybody you guys have ever seen at that point?
I don't think there's anybody like Michael Vick. Like Michael Vick, you know, he's the one and only. But I mean, it wasn't necessarily Kaepernick, you know. That their run scheme was they outbeat us in every way.
Jared, knowing that your instincts tell you to get up the field and rush the passer, what are you keying off the snap when you have a quarterback like DJ Manuel or Colin Kaepernick in defending those potential bootlegs?
It's not get up the field and rush the passer at all. It's you know, it depends on what my block reactions are. Every week, I can tell you guys the same thing. What's my game plan? Stop the run, get after the quarterback. I mean, that's going to be the plan every year, every week, no matter who it is. Okay. And it's block reaction. And the difference between guys that make plays and guys that are, you know, don't, it's just how fast you recognize the block reaction, how fast you read what your key is giving you. So, you know, does rushing a mobile quarterback bring different challenges? Yes, because I got to beat the tackle, and now I got to beat, you know, I don't have a lawn deer standing back there. You know, now I got to get in position to where this guy can take a good rush and make me look wrong if he escapes in a gap where, you know, normally a guy wouldn't. So, you know, there's nothing that you're looking for. You can't play within a box. You have to shoot, you know. I was telling the guys today, the only way to kill something is put bullets in the air, right? Mm-hmm. We got to shoot our guns. We got it. We got to throw at them. We got to, I guess, a knife.
A knife, yeah.
A good knife.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of modern weapons.
Bad analogy.
These days.
Yeah, your grenades, too.
You're right. You know, C4.
Triple. But the only way to get them, I mean, the only way we're going to get them on the ground is we got to be around them. We got to have a presence on them. And guys, we're going to have to play off each other, fill lanes. There's going to be times where he's going to get out. There's going to be times where you scramble. But if we go into a game thinking, you know, they're going to gash in the run first. So everything starts with your block reaction. What is my key telling me? Now I react to it. Now the reason you want to try to create one-dimensional type situations so we can dictate the pressure, right? So in third and eight, if you look in the Bills game, when they weren't third and short, they were third and long, we were able to get after him, get EJ off his spot. He threw us the ball one. He scrambled, but they still got a punt. We get him off the field. It's a different game. If we keep them in third and short, Now you got play action in play, you got run in play, you got everything. So our whole goal is to be really good on first and second down, force them to be one-dimensional. Now we get to dictate what's going to happen. We can put him where we want him to run. You know, we can give him alleys to take it away. You can rush with it with a plan and stuff like that. So it's not really, like I said, it's anything different. It's week to week, but you know, first things first. You gotta be able to read your keys and react to what you're getting.
Lance, what was your reaction to seeing the videotape of Ray Rice knock out his wife in the elevator and dragging the way the league reacted to that from a player's perspective?
What was my reaction? Well, obviously, it's you hate to see something like that, you know. I'm more happy. I'll tell you what I'm happy about. I'm happy that they amended the situation and those two are still married and they're working it out and they're happy, you know, and that's what I'm happy about. I'm happy that they're happy, you know. And I think that's probably where I'm probably going to leave it unless you have another question.